I invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. It's been some time with the sickness and the way the schedules have worked out and all that for us to spend any time on this passage, this chapter, this book and chapter. But we're seeing, we're looking in here to the church at Philippi and the apostle writing to this church in Macedonia. And there's a history in Acts that is there that we know about. The Apostle Paul and those that went with him to Philippi. We see and those that were saved there and that foundation of the folks that were there in that church. We saw in the first chapter about how this fellowship of the gospel is a theme, fellowship in the gospel, fellowship of the gospel, and how there are different things that are associated with that, or that fellowship in the gospel is defined by them, what it actually means. It's one thing to say fellowship in the gospel, but what does that mean? And so those things are defined in that first chapter. We come to the second chapter, and we're dealing with this and expanding upon it that we might understand and understand how it works. It's very much along the line Brother Stephen brought out in his Sunday school class this morning. The Lord has promised to give His word, and He's done it. He's promised, as we've seen, to preserve His word, and He's done that. But He's done that by His power, indeed. It's obvious, it's plain, to bring His word the course of these, 3,000, 3,500 to 4,000 years that He's done that. He's brought it to us, and we have it. We can trust it. We can know and believe that it's that it is His word from Him, but He used human instrumentality to bring that along and didn't make the work of that preservation without the touch of that human instrumentality. The Lord doesn't take that away. He doesn't make everything necessarily just perfect and uniform in that. That can cause us and has caused us some to think that, well, if He hasn't done that, then we just don't have it. No. We know by the testimony of the Word of God that it is true. We know that it's so as saved because of the work of the Spirit in our hearts by virtue of this Word. And as He's brought out in His study about what the Lord Jesus Christ believes about it, those things are relayed through and they come to us. And I like what Brother Stephen pointed out, which is so the things that the Lord Jesus Christ was very definitive about were the things that caused mankind the greatest heartburn, or that we are most against naturally. And so we have the Word of God. Well, so it is with our walk and our life. It's only by our Lord that we're saved. It's only by His working, His divine plan, the Word of God, the moving of the Spirit in that. But we as His children, especially in this New Testament church age, being a part of His church, we've got a work to do. And that work is dependent on other things happening. Now, if we don't do what we're to do, the Lord may use somebody else to get it done. And whatever He's purposed to get done, He'll get done. But He has a command to us personally and together, personally in our families and in our church. He's given us a work to pursue, and we need to pursue it, or we're not going to be found in the place of blessing that He has ordained and designed. And so we have that. We have that we need to pursue. If you've been saved long, if you've been saved very long at all, you will probably well understand how doing this work and calling and meeting this call of the Lord in your own power, how far you can't go. Because we need the Lord's strength and the Lord's power and the Lord's help to be able to do it. Because the flesh cannot. And sometimes we in zeal, we go ahead and try to do it and accomplish it in the flesh, and then we find out. Sometimes in ignorance, we'll go and we'll try to get it done in the flesh, and then we'll find out. And that's part, let us not be discouraged, that's part of the Lord and the way He teaches us, because we need to go forth by His power, with His blessing, and appealing and pleading with Him that He would give us strength and power by from Him to do what He's given us to do. Why? So we won't be glorified and have a thing with pride regarding what the Lord uses us to accomplish, but that He might be glorified and we be found in our place as instruments in his hands. Remember what the Lord Jesus, he said to the disciples, came to him and said, increase our faith. And the Lord said to him, well, who has a servant that when they go out and work together with the master, they come in, the master says, okay, you go ahead and eat and get relaxed and have it easy. And then after that, you can serve me. No, the Lord said, I don't think so. The way that it works is the master and the servant comes in, the servant fixes the food, the master is fed first, and then the servant eats, because that's just the way it is. He's the master, he's the leader. We've been given an assignment, and when we've done all that we're bid to do, we need to say we are unprofitable servants at best, because that's where we're at with this flesh. But you know what? We do have the victory through our Lord. And so we need to know what he says. We need to have understanding from him. As we saw that this morning, we need to have understanding from him to how to take it and apply it to our lives and to live it for him, to his honor and his glory, and not our own. And so this here falls along that same line. Let's be reminded of the verses that we're considering and going from. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it doesn't mean to accomplish it. It means to take what's within and make that come out in your life. Okay, in your person, and do so in the fear of the Lord and the accountability before the Lord, trembling. We want to do well, right? We need to do well to obey our Lord. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, how so? Well, by the Holy Spirit that lives within. It's the only way that we can know anything. It's the only way we can be empowered to do anything. So we are to pursue, I mean, it's work in your life like it all depends on you. But know and understand it all depends on God. And don't sit around waiting for the Lord to give you a sign or to urge you more or whatever. He's given it right here in his word. We've got the command. It's black and white, black print on white pages to tell us that we need to work out what he's given us within. It's our with fear that the Lord has given that command. Who is it that gets the accommodation from the Lord and the servants that are left by the master in the household while the master goes off to a far land to receive a kingdom and then comes back? Those that listened to what he said and did it, or those that didn't listen to what he said and just kind of did their own thing? That's the boat we're in. He's given us the command. He's given us the instruction. And for we in the time that we live, in our day, we've got the most instruction of those compared to like 4,000, 4,500, or say 4,500, 4,200 years before, we've got the most instruction in the book than any have had. And we have it in multiples. And if you talk about this, just talking about the existence of the Word of God, talking about the ready availability of the Word of God, we've got the most exposure to that in, say, one out of 5,000 years or one out of 6,000 years. And so we've got it, and we need to avail ourselves to it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure, and that's by virtue of the Spirit. And so when we have a desire, it's of the Lord. If I don't have desire, I need to have desire because I've been saved and pursue that. And then he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, sandwiched in between that and do all things without murmurings and disputings, which comes very easy. I don't know. I know it doesn't to you, but I'm really apt to murmur and dispute and to fuss and quarrel. So sandwich between work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Personally, it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure by virtue of the Spirit and his leadership. And then do it all without murmuring about it and do it all without disputing about it. And disputing against the Lord and murmuring against the Lord, I think, is implied. that ye may be blameless, verse 15, and harmless, helpful, the sons of God without rebuke from the Lord in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And that's what we're to do. Jesus said, don't hide it under a bed or hide it under a bushel, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, that my labor amongst you has not been towards emptiness of your life and your pursuits for the Lord, but that you would grab a hold of the teaching and the word of God and move forward with it. Move forward with it to the day that is ahead. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, if my life is used up, for your sakes, for you to become faithful and to be taught. Remember, he had said, he says in chapter 1, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm in a strait. I've got a desire to depart. But it's more needful for me, for you to stay, and that effort, that labor of the apostle unto them in teaching and instructing and writing these epistles to them is for their benefit. He said, I want to rejoice in the day of Christ that you took that and you went forward with it rather than ignoring it and it be given to you in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Because the Lord used Paul to bring that word unto them. And he loves them. He wants to instruct them in the ways of the Lord, not so that he can have people under his control and hold people to his debt. He wants to glorify God and knows that as the gospel works, as it says in Romans chapter 1, the gospel of the Lord works and the Lord makes it effectual, that the glory of God is revealed from faith to faith. Another believer, another one pursuing their Lord and pursuing the service of their Lord redounds to the honor and glory of God. And so that's what we're taking a look at. We looked about this working out. It needs to come from within. No one can work salvation of their soul by what they do. But when we are saved, it will work out. It should work out. And we need to do that. We need to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. The flesh is against it all, right? The flesh is against it all. And when you and I would least expect it, saved by the help and the guard and the protection of the Lord on our lives and the things of our lives and that. And of course, the Lord causes the heat to get turned up on us so that we might see ourselves and how we are naturally. And when we do that, we abhor it, being a child of God. And we ask the Lord to forgive us, to help us, to turn our hearts to what's right. But we need to understand the flesh is against it all. But the Spirit is full-time desirous of the will and the way and the work of the Lord. And that's the Spirit that lives within us. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That kind of power. That kind of power lives within us. And the Holy Spirit always wants to do those things pleasing in His sight. And so therefore, we are told not to grieve the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We're not to quench the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. We're subject to do so. When I start listening to my body and my flesh and my fleshly mind, and I begin to ignore what the Lord has taught us in His Word and that, the Spirit is here within me and being quenched and being grieved. But when I listen to what the Lord says and I undertake to do what He wants me to do in my physical weakness and my lack of understanding about how it can work out, and we step out in faith to just follow the Lord in the next thing that He's given us to do, and miraculously, He gives us strength, He gives us power, He gives us words. It is good for us to be emptied of ourselves It's not enjoyable to the flesh to be brought to that point of being emptied of self. But I tell you what, it's good for us to see our Lord and to see the inability of ourselves. Now, to the natural mind, it says, oh, what's the use of even enduring that? What's the use of even following such a thing? This is the work of God, the work and the way of God. And this place that he's left the children of God, this place he's left us in, is to redound for his honor and his glory and not our own. We will be relieved from it one day. But right now, we need to look to our Lord for the help that we need. And then next, we're in the midst of taking a look of his equipping of us. And we've been given this of prayer, and the Word of God is the greatest of blessings, apart from being saved, going on from being saved. We've got His Word here so readily, so available. We don't scrounge around, you know, hey, give me your copy of Ephesians, I'll loan you my copy of Galatians. We don't do that. We don't have to do that. But the saints before us, there were those that had to do such a thing. We've got it right here. And then for the Word of God, we have this of prayer. And we're told to pray without ceasing. And we're to rejoice, as it says there in 1 Thessalonians 5, and pray, and our Lord, we're to pray without ceasing, and we're not to quench the Spirit. Sandwiched right there between those two. It's interesting how it is, because the Lord knows how we're made. Highs and lows, and highs and lows, and highs and lows. We're just up and down and up and down. We need to be reminded that we can ask and it'll be given to us. We need to seek and we need to knock. Don't, it won't. But do, follow that of ask, seek, and knock. We need to take our life and the work of the Lord in our lives to our Lord to give us understanding of what He would have us to do and how He would have us to go about it. James reminds us, if we lack wisdom, or could we say if we lack anything else? I mean, the one that's created us, is he not in control of our ability and intellect and skill and thought processes and all that? He can give us anything we need. He's able to do it. But do we go to him for it? And then when the Lord Jesus tells us in Mark 11 that when we pray, we need to believe that we receive things. We not to, as James tells us, we don't need to be double-minded, but we need to be stable, looking to our Lord. He knows the need. We need to bring the need to him. We need to petition him for what we know, surrender to his will, and be ready to receive the blessing that he would give us for his service. Hebrews 4, the writer tells us, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. We belong there. The Word of God has been given unto us. It's mentioned before that. And we belong there at the throne of grace. We're children. We are the children of the Lord. He expects us to be there and come boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time and need. Lord, help me. That's my biggest prayer. That's what I find. And that's why I don't even know how to ask for help at times. But Lord, help me. Here's what we've got. Don't be like that fellow that prayed in this way and said, Lord, he had the things that were important to him written down on a paper there at the head of his bed. And he tapped that paper on the wall, said, Lord, these are my sentiments, and go to sleep. No, we need to take what we have in our hearts. It's not wrong to have something written down, but take that to the Lord. You and I would likely never deal with one another that way. And our Lord certainly should not and does not expect to be dealt with in that way. And then we come to this aspect of our equipping of the Lord. As I've mentioned in time past, who goeth to warfare at any time of his own charges? You know, soldiers outfitted for war and battle. A king would look to hire an army or equip an army. They provide the stuff that is needed typically. And so it is with us. Our Lord, for this kingdom work that he's given us to do, he is the one that equips his own. He equips us. And so prayer we have, and then we need to see that we have this. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 is a favorite passage of mine. I tell you, don't look to me. I need to be a good example to you, but my failing is exposed over and over, And I'm called to be a good example to you, but I tell you, don't follow me, follow the Lord Jesus. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to what these words say here. Brother Peter, we saw this morning how he had been run through the mill for his thinking and his mouth and his opinion about Christ dying. And the Lord said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I tell you why, that's a terrible rebuke. But the Lord didn't give up on him, and the Lord didn't quit on him. And he's learned, okay? He's learned by the time that he's writing this. And so listen to the word given to our brother, to we who are saved, regarding our equipping and what has been given unto us. He has his greeting in verses 1 and 2, and we pick it up in verse 3. No, let's just read verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So grace and peace be multiplied. We understand multiplying rather than adding. That's a good thing, isn't it? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace and peace multiplied by knowledge. We need to know about our Lord. We need to observe our Lord and see how he walked and what he did. "According as his divine power," so understand that, power only possessed by God. It's divine. It's holy. He is eternal. He is God, and he has power. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Now, what did that say? My Bible says, and I'm sure that yours does too, he hath given us all things. So we take a look at our equipping. We've got it. How is it that we've got it? By the Spirit of God that lives within. We have it. Now, it may not be cultivated in us. We may have no experience with it yet. But he has given it unto us. All things that pertain to what? All things that pertain to life. What's that? That's living. We're living life. We're living life today, tonight, the Lord keeping us alive on this earth, tomorrow, the next day, living life. Okay? So he's given us all things that pertain to life. Well, how can we understand that? Well, they're all rolled up in him. Okay? And it's going to give us some clarity here in a minute. And all things that pertain unto godliness, being like the Lord. The thinking of the Lord Jesus, that is godliness. The thinking in the way of God is godliness. And we've got it. We've got it. And again, I believe this is by, we can understand this by virtue of the Spirit that lives within. If we deny ourselves and deny our flesh, and we learn and understand from the Lord the instruction of him and the things that he has provided, will provide for us and does provide, and that are in us by virtue of the Spirit, we've got it all. We may not have experience with it. Well, we need to get experience with it. We may not know about it for this next thing or this new thing or this experience that we've never gone through before. We may not know about it, but we need to avail ourselves, ask for it, and seek it, because he's told us here, we've been given all things. It doesn't say most, does it? It doesn't say that we will be given them, does it? But he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's our equipping. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So we will have these things, and we will have them to be able to put them to use in our lives and in our walk for the Lord and with the Lord by knowledge of him. That takes us right back to the Word of God. It takes us right back to the Scripture. That takes our that's where we take our life situation, this point, this aspect, this piece of our life, and we go to the Word of God and try to find and understand the answer for it. Knowledge of Him that hath called us. He's called us to glory, and we're to glorify Him now, and we're heading to glory to be with Him. And virtue, which that word virtue at times in the Scripture can mean power, not our own power, but the power of the Lord. I think the more appropriate definition here, if I recall it correctly, is maturity, manliness. All right, being mature, not being a child tossed to and fro, but being steadfast in what the Lord says. So the tidal wave of life and the opponents and the oppressors is going to overtake you. It doesn't matter. God has said, this is the way it's to be, and this is what I stand in. That's virtue. We believe Him. We trust Him in it. Whereby all things given to us that pertain to life and godliness through this knowledge, by those things, they're the vehicle that gets us, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Do you know the promises of the Lord? If you and I don't know the promises of our Lord unto us, we can find ourselves drifting in the morass of life and the way of the world, wars and rumors of wars, and how are we going to have enough money to be able to take care of our family with inflation going crazy and madness in our own government. And I mean, we can find all kinds of things that will perplex us. But we've got promises from our Lord, exceeding great and precious promises. They are huge. They are beyond. What is it the Lord says? He's got more blessings to pour out on out of heaven unto us than we can receive. Okay? Great and precious promises, they are precious. Why are they precious? Because they're given, you know, the government will change, our family will change, the people of this world that we would put trust in or have respect for will change, but the Lord will never change. He will never change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Praise be to His name. He is that anchor that is steadfast and sure. He is that rock upon which our house is built, being saved by Him and following Him. He will not change. The person that you and I trust in this world the most is subject to change, but the Lord will never change. That's the reason when He says something that He promises, that's the reason it's precious. It's going to happen. He's going to bring it to pass because it's founded on Him. And so are we feeling kind of tossed around, feeling like we're being taken by the waves? Tell you what, we need to know those promises of our Lord to get anchored down and to be steadfast and sure in Him, because He's given us promises. Tell you what, this one has been the comfort to me. Even though I've felt to the contrary at times, He has promised He will never leave me nor forsake me. You got to know that. Got to know that. Among so many others. Having given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, they're connected to His promises. We can have those things and know those things by the knowledge of Him. And that knowledge is going to reveal these great and precious promises, that by these, there in the midst of verse 4, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. His divine power has given these things. And then there's a divine nature. The divine nature is not found naturally in you and me. That's the corrupt nature. That's the sin nature. That's the rebellious nature. What we got from Adam. That's not what it's talking about. It's the total opposite about what's being talked about here. The divine nature is manifested in the Son, God the Son having become a man, so He could be a sacrifice for men, women, boys, and girls. There's the divine nature. The divine nature took his glory from on high that he had an experience with the Father and laid it aside to become a man. That's the divine nature. When God looked on in his infinite way and ability, as the scripture declares it, and understand this, when he looks on and he marveled that there was no intercessor, he said, I'll be the intercessor. And not only that, I'll be the mediator. And not only that, I'll be the sacrifice. And not only that, I'll be the one that brings in which is found the atonement. And I'll be the sin bearer. I'll be the scapegoat. I'll be the atonement, so it won't have to be done annually anymore. I'll be the Passover. I'll be the cursed one hanging on a tree. That's what the divine nature does. And by this, you and I can be a partaker of the divine nature. Now listen, that is great and exceeding. For the likes of us to be a partaker of the divine nature, the greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. And you know what? The divine nature will cause us to do the same. But we must know his promises. And we must have confidence that what he has said, he has done and will do and accomplish in us if we will avail ourselves to it. We can ball up, live the same way we've always lived, just go ahead and keep on sailing like we used to, trusting the same things we trusted in the past, and you know what? We'll have the same old mess we've always had. But I tell you what, if we'll get a hold of this and understand that he's given us all things and we'll seek his face in all things and we'll wait on him and rest in him and trust in him and look to him as he has given us instruction in his word, we will be helped and blessed. He goes on to say here, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so just as I mentioned earlier, this is the opposite of what we have naturally. We need to escape what we are naturally and what we've inherited from Adam. And we need to run to and look to this divine nature that is possible to be manifested in us. Oh, sinless perfection? No, it won't be. It cannot be. An excuse to follow after sin? No, by no means. But to understand that the power of the Lord working in us and through us can accomplish the great, wonderful things of God. He can do that through the likes of us. Us reading this of this man that was a Pharisee of the Pharisees that from the natural standpoint had no hope or help of salvation, but was called and saved by the Lord. Speaking about Paul, but then Peter, a fisherman living in obscurity up in Galilee, who would call him to anything? But the Lord did, and he speaks to us yet today. How many millions has the Lord used Brother Peter to speak to over the time that he wrote? I mean, think about it. A fisherman from Galilee. But yet today, we look into what the Lord gave him to write into us. And then, if that wasn't enough, and beside this, verse number 5, I think he's excited, don't you? I think he's riding, he's got a smile on his face, and he says, listen in on this, beside this, giving all diligence, and I'm going to break it down for you, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. He said, I'm going to tell you how to pursue it. You give all diligence. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Add to your faith. We have faith from the Lord. We were brought by the truth of the Lord and his word and the moving of the Spirit to receive and believe on Christ. Yes, that is the truth. I am convinced from the Lord that I am a sinner and I am on my way to hell, and the only rescue I have is what Jesus has done for me. I'm convinced of that. You say the same, don't you? And so we have that faith. No one can take it away. It's been given to us by the Lord. We're possessors of it. We possess that faith. We have that faith. We have that faith by the working of the Spirit of God within us. He's opened up the eyes and opened up the heart and opened up the ears. And we have that faith. It's in us. And Peter says, need to add to it. It just doesn't stop there. But see, that can be the attitude with us, can it? It's the attitude with many. Until we learn and hear what the Lord says in His Word, faith is not the end. Faith is the beginning. And add to your faith. He says, it doesn't say add to the faith. Add to your faith. The faith that you possess. The faith you've been given. Add to that virtue. And again, we spoke about that. And here, the meaning is manliness or maturity. Grow up. Grow up. It can be the case with the children of God, and we can have a long cycle of it or a short cycle of it, that we just say, I don't want to go any farther than where I am right now. I'm content being right here. No, we need to grow up. We need to grow up. Manliness. And add to that virtue, knowledge. There it is again. What have you learned about the Lord and His Word and His working in the past year that you can note that you have learned? And add to knowledge, temperance, self-control. To control yourself, for me to control myself, not fly off, not to delve into things that I shouldn't delve into. And add to temperance, patience. You got to work on patience. Have to work on being patient. It doesn't say to add impatience. That's just already there. We need to fight against our society, which is just an instant answer and gratification kind of affair. We need to wait and not brag about our impatience. Let us not brag about our impatience, but let us add to our self-control patience, and add to patience godliness, which is that cheerful endurance and continuance. Again, we can, with patience is that cheerful endurance and continuance. We can endure some things and translate that as patience with our teeth gritted, by gritting our teeth, but that's not patience. We need to do so cheerfully. And we need to add to patience godliness again, which is mentioned up here, that we've been given all things that pertain to godliness. It's available. The stockpile of the Lord's godliness that can be manifested into us is not wanting. It's there. We need to desire it. I think it's good for us to take and review this list and ask ourselves often, how am I doing here? How am I doing with this? And add to godliness, brotherly kindness. And we understand that one, and I'm thankful for the brotherly kindness that is exhibited here at our church. And we need to pursue that more. Not let down, not get to a level that we're content, but continue to pursue that and add that to our faith. Again, all these things that are sought to be added. And it says here, to brotherly kindness, charity, which is that love with legs on it. It shows our love not by what we say, but by what we do. Like Jesus did for us. What Jesus did. And think about Jesus. Think about Jesus from His commitment in eternity, His willingness to submit to the Father, His commitment and willingness for the sake of His people from eternity to be willing to become our Savior. And then His faithfulness to accomplish it all until He receives us to himself in glory. He's not going to let it slip. I let things slip. I do. He won't. Never has, never will. If you're here and you're not saved, indeed you can trust him. And then for next time, we'll pick it up here. For if these things be in you and abound. So we're not told to just add them nonchalantly and in passing, but we are told, I think that we can understand this by them being in us and abounding. That means that we're going to have to run this cycle and do this evaluation and seek to do better where we've lacked. The Lord, we ask the Lord's help to see us where we do lack in these particular things to add to our faith. And we're going over this over and over and over again, over and over again, because they need to be piled up bigger and overflow into the container. And if we need another container, we need to get a bigger container. You understand what I'm saying? These are things that there's no limit to. They just need to continue to be expanding in us. Who can tell the limit? Who can tell the limit of the Lord Jesus' patience? Who can define that? It can't be, can it? There's our goal. There's our target. So, the equipping. All things are given unto us. Prayer, may we pray, pray without ceasing. That's the reason. We've got others to pray for, but indeed we have ourselves to pray for in these things. And may that they're provided by the Lord, as I mentioned at the beginning of this message. It's just like the Lord dealt with the Word of God. So it is with these things. They're given unto us, but they're just not saddled up onto us or plugged into us like that, and we've just got them. We've got to work on it. We've got to seek his face to pursue them and to add them. And that is part of our calling, to be like our Lord Jesus and to shine for him. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we point you to him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. Listen, he's not a shoddy or a willy-nilly Savior. He saves and provides for every need that his children have. It's not a open-end, the Lord save you, and then, okay, you're on your own and see you in eternity. That's not that kind of a thing, is it? He's provided for everything along the way, along that narrow way that is him. So if you're here and not saved, trust him, believe, repent of your sins and believe and trust on him. And as his people, may the Lord help us that we would follow after these things.